Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of What's in the Box. We're talking about what we're playing in Cube and what you should try out in yours. I'm one of your hosts, Drew, or Quad Nines, here with my other host, Zakil.
What's up, everyone? This is the start of our color series. We're going to be going over each color in Magic, talking about what they do, drafting strategies around them, some of the usual archetypes, some of the archetypes that are a bit uncommon, things that the color lacks, and then our top cards in each color. Before we get into this, do you get to play some Oath of the Gatewatch that recently came out?
I've played a couple drafts on Magic Online, and I might play more, but I could probably do without it. Yeah, not real impressed with it at all. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's just bad experience, but it's just, I didn't really like BFZ. I just played it because you could kind of not really go infinite on it, but like even playing the Swiss, like I could go 2-1 and sell cards and just redraft. So, but this one's just pretty bad. So.
Yeah, I thought the colorless was going to be pretty cool, and it is. There's a lot of really strong constructed cards, but wastes, I feel like they're actually, you know, they are common, but they seem fairly uncommon in draft and sealed. I've had entire pools where I've only had like one or two. It's like,
Yeah, I've only drafted, I haven't done sealed. I just drafted twice and I opened one waste and got past, one like third pick in pack three, but that's all I saw, like out of however many packs it went around. So either they're getting picked really early or not open much or both.
Mm-hmm. So. And any new advancements in your cube? Any sweet pickups? Any plans? Any, have you drafted recently?
No, we haven't drafted it much. I've been hitting up the Cube Tutor draft function. I finally got it updated on there. Oh, I did add a Maze of If. Pick that up from Zimit.
Nice.
It's just one of those cards I'm like, yeah, I could probably use that one. So, looking to get a full Wastelander Liliana here pretty soon. So.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
You've got a pretty big, big card coming in this week.
Yeah, I finally, it's been like 2 years, finally got a Mrs. Workshop. So it's a signed one off ABU. I just went deep. I was like, all right, we'll just buy list all this stuff I don't use. And should be coming in this week in time for my birthday next week. So I'm pretty excited. It's gonna be that splash card where it's gonna be in my cube, but it's gonna stay at home in an EDH deck.
Yeah, I saw the scan. It looks pretty sweet. I like the signature on it.
Yeah. I'm excited. So, getting back to red. What does red, when you think of red in Magic, what do you, I think of burn. What do you think, I mean, is there anything else to think about?
I mean, that's the main thing, but it does have a couple different, I won't say personalities, but it does some other things. You know, nowadays we have the pseudo card draw in like the Chandra Pyromaster Zero ability or Palace Siege or, you know, Abbot of Carol Keep where you get the exile card. And if you can use it this turn, you can. And then if you can't, it goes away. So that's, you know, it's card advantage at some point. Also the, you know, there's the artifact theme going around. You know, they printed Duretti and Commander and Dak Faden is, you know, blue red based, but he deals with the artifacts. Just a lot of cool things with artifacts, a little more than I thought. It's also even though it is, you know, a lot of the spells are burn, it's a spells matter color because, you know, you got your young pyromancer, you got all your storm cards, gutter snipe cards like that. Some people play those. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it usually culminates in burning somebody's face off, but sometimes it gets there in different ways.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like recently, especially like you were talking about a second ago, the commander products, I don't know, probably not the plane shift, but like stuff like Magus of the Wheel, stuff like Duretti. There's a couple other like Fiery Confluence. They're attacking red at a slightly different angle. And the only cards that I think are commonly played in most cube lists would be stuff maybe like Gamble. That's a bit different. Of course the Fortune effects, but recently, and then Felden is a really cool card. We've got a bunch of cards that just kind of, they're slightly changing the way red works. Same thing with Dual Caster Mage. It's, you know, a little bit of tempo here, a little bit of artifacts here, moving away from the burn, but still getting excellent aggro cards. Like, what, last year we got Goblin Rabble Master?
Eidolon?
Yeah, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Probably with some of the best creatures we've gotten in a long time, so. And Monastery Swift Spear, so.
Yeah, there's a lot better, like a lot of the classic red staples of Cube have been cut the last year just because they've printed things that are, you know, either the same and better or just different and cheaper. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's and then, of course, you've always got the old standby of blowing their lands up. So that's the thing.
Good old LD pillage effects.
Yeah, yeah, I was never without my Stone Rain, Molten Rain, and I do love a good Avalanche Riders.
Mm-hmm. So, just, I guess, conceptually, where does red fit in the overall color pie of Magic?
I mean, it's just, I think at its heart, it's just aggressive, you know, real, you know, all in almost. Like, I know there's some decks that don't go that way, but usually you kind of have to commit. It is a good support color in some cases, but yeah, it's more of a, I don't know, like I said, like an aggressive all-in type build.
Hmm. Yeah, I definitely find that most of the time you can't really play around too many things. You don't draft red to do that, like you were saying. If you're drafting like red aggro, you just, if they have the wrath, they have it. That's the end of the day. You're not coming back by playing a one drop on turn five.
Yeah. Of course, you know, that's where you get your red haste creatures, you know. Yeah, they wrath you on, you know, turn four, you untap, you play, you know, maybe a Swift Spear and a Hell Rider and just, would that be, six them?
Yeah.
Just like bunch of them. Six them. So like, you know, they're probably dead. So it both kind of plays everything out, but it, with the haste from the creatures and just the, sometimes you're just a top deck away from that last burn spell. You know, it has a lot of good reach, even if you can three for one them with a wrath or some kind of effect like that. Yeah, there's been many games I've played against the mono red deck where I gained 10 life and just died miserably. It just didn't matter. They just kept beating down and kept burning my face. So, and you know, some people call it the fun police if you do the traditional mono red one drops and burn spells, but I mean, it's effective. It's really good sometimes.
So getting into archetypes, let's talk about the most famous archetype. And that's of course burn. Where, I mean, I guess we've kind of already answered this question about where does it stand, but I think for the most part, okay, I guess this is a better question. What burn spells do you play? Because in the majority of cubes, you're going to still get like Lightning Bolt, Incinerate, and then you'll have cards like Searing Spear effects, and then maybe like Searing Blaze, and then there's
Chain Lightning, trying to think of the ones you didn't mention.
Char, there's a bunch of Stoke. They're kind of slightly different, but the reason I asked that is because I've been recently building a Pauper Cube, and you'd be interested to see how many, like how efficient burn spells are. Even in Oath of the Gatewatch, we've got Tears of Valakut. That card mm-hmm. is really strong. The same thing with, it obviously doesn't shoot an opponent's face, but it can kill a creature on the spot. It's just removal. What is the card? Is it Roast that does like 5 damage?
Yeah, to non-flying creature?
Non-flying creature, yeah. There are so many, depending on how you want to construct your cube, whether it's powered, unpowered, or even a lower power level. Like I was saying in my Pauper cube, I don't want to have anything that, I want everything to be conditional below 2 mana, or 2 mana and below. So mm-hmm. the best card in there is, I can't remember. But like most, like Tears of Valakut, like Lightning Strike is too strong because I think most of these cards are just too efficient at what they do.
Brimstone Volley?
Yeah, Brimstone Volley is the one I'm looking for, yeah. Magma Jet is in there, but it only does 2 damage. So it's good, but it's, you know, it's not a bolt, it's not an incinerate. Sometimes it can be better. But there are so many different things to choose from. I think it, you know, you can really cater your burn. Like when we had Randy on the show, he was talking about how burn decks were performing super, super well. So they had to nerf them a bit. They took out Vortex. They took out a couple other cards. So if you ever feel as though red is too strong, or you think red is just, you know, you don't want red to be as present as it is, maybe it's affecting blue-white control a bit too much because they can splash for, you know, maybe you're playing multiple lightning bolts or whatever it is. You can definitely, you know, grind that down because you'd be like, how many searing spear effects are there? Incinerate, searing spear, lightning strike. I feel like there's at least one more.
Well, there's fire blast, which is definitely, it's free.
Yeah.
Usually.
But the but, two that deal three, do you, I can't think, I feel like there is more.
Oh, yeah, there's chain lightning, lightning bolts. Lightning Strike, Searing Spear, which is basically the same thing.
Incinerate, which is better, does the regen thing.
Yeah. The suspend one.
Ripple. Oh, the Rift Bolt, yeah. So there, I mean, there's there's a bunch of ones that you can choose from, so. Have you ever had to ever, you know, nerf or change some of the burn spells, or do you have a focus on player or creature? Because I know a couple cubes run Flame Slash, because, you know, sometimes that's the effect that you want rather than an actual bolt in terms of creatures. You know, how do you mix that up? Because there's so many burn spells to choose from. How do you know which one fits your cube?
I think the key with red, if it's getting too strong, is the redundancy. You take away the redundancy, and it's a little bit hard to get that, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know, deck in. Like, yeah, you can put the strictly worst burn spells in, or you can just make less of them, I guess. I would prefer to make, like, keep your lightning bolts and your chain lightnings in, mm-hmm. but cut, like I said, some of the, just more of the burn spells, like, maybe down the line, and put in, like, mid-range creatures or something like that, if that's what you're wanting to try and maybe slow it down some. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, there are a couple of those burn spells I cut recently. Like, I don't run Char anymore, but I still run Hero of Oxid Ridge, which, you know, is not near the best four drop in red. It's probably fourth now, maybe third. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably not that high. But yeah, like, I kind of, if you're wanting to tone the power level down, I wouldn't necessarily cut your, you know, the best cards like Lightning Bolt, but just cut back on the redundancy because. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just have look it down at your hand, you're like, I've got two lands and five spells that do three damage. Keep.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, one of them happens to be Shrine of Burning Rage. Pretty much means you're dead. So, I don't know, but...
What X spells do you play? So, you know, the common ones would be like Banefire. I love Bonfire of the Damned. And then some assortment of Earthquake effects. Earthquake, Rolling Earthquake, whatever it is.
Let me see. Right now I run... I think I run Rolling Earthquake, Banefire, Bonfire. Is that it? That may be it. Mm-hmm. I don't run regular Earthquake anymore. But yeah, I think that might be it on those. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like I said, there's a bunch of different ones you can run for sure. Out of the Red X spells, you know, kind of transitioning from burn, you go into the other kind of sub archetypes where you've got like you want artifacts and you might want land destruction. You've got cards like Burning of Xinyi and, Wildfire, which are essentially the same card. But they both promote you having artifacts because you want the artifact mana and destroys your opponent's lands and, you know, wipes their board or in your board, presumably, but, you know, can just about lock them out of the game while you still have all your mana to operate on over here, because, you know, generally even the artifact or bigger red decks still don't need that much mana to go on. So that is a little bit separate direction you can go in if you want to kind of get away from the strictly burn package.
Mm-hmm. One card that I've been incredibly impressed with, I knew it was good before, but with the recent rendition of the Holiday Cube, Smash to Smithereens has definitely performed very well in my cube, at least. It's one of the cards that scales just the more artifacts that you have in your cube, but Smash is a pretty efficient card. It's kind of like Reclamation Sage. It gets a lot better depending on, you know, the higher power level of your cube, pardon me. But I've been incredibly impressed with it, just because more often than not, they're always going to have some sort of artifact in their deck, and it's essentially just another Searing Spear.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like the opposite of like your Searing Blaze or Searing Blood or whatever, mm-hmm. where, you know, sometimes the deck's going to kill you with no creatures. Like, they're going to put, you know, some Planeswalkers in, or they might mill you out, or, you know, whatever. Or they might just have creatures big enough where the days don't hurt you, but like you said, if you crank the power level, the Smash Smithereens gets a lot better, because blowing up somebody's mana rock or their sword and dealing them 3 damage is pretty good stuff.
Mm. So going into, do you want to talk about spells matter, or which archetype would you like to go into next?
I like the spells matter one.
Okay.
Probably. One thing's, Young Pyromancer is one of my favorite cards probably in red. We'll go over a list later, of course. But, you know, I consider it like the best red 2-drop. Some people have said that now it's either Eidolon or maybe even Abbott. But I, you know, for the decks that I like to build, you know, just every instant of sorcery gets you a guy. mm-hmm. And, you know,
so glad always, this card was uncommon.
Yeah, I just wish they'd reprint it, though. Like, yeah. It's so easy to reprint. It's not really tied to a plane that I know of. And they seem, even though it was uncommon, they seem kind of harder and harder to find now.
If this guy was a mythic, he'd be a fortune. Like, oh,
my God. It'd be ridiculous. Like, you see how much Eidolon is, and it's a rare from a middle set. I can imagine a mythic. Ugh. So, but, you know, in that spells matter, deck, you know, you've got some other cards like, I said, Gutter Snipe, which I've played in the Legacy Cube. I don't run it in my own cube, but it's sometimes like they just kill you with triggers. Like, there's like, you got to remove it and then just like draw spell, burn spell. By the time everything goes on the stack, you're like at one.
Yeah. And they have 3 guys from Pyromancer, yeah. Too. Yeah.
And then, like I said, if you've got something like a Storm Package in your cube, Young Pyromancer plus, I don't know, Empty the Warrens. Like, even if you're just empty for 6 goblins, well, then you also got 3 elementals. And they're gonna die pretty fast, so it's a different kind of aggressive deck, but it goes well in the decks I like to build, you know, which generally involve blue. You know, I don't always play islands, but, I do more when I win, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in those draw spells just become so, or, you know, filtering spells come so much better when you get this extra body and just put all the pressure on them. So now they're trying to deal with what you've got on the board, and then you just refilled your hand. Ugh. It's, one of the dirtier secrets of red is that they, if you have to spend your resources, you know, like say on Young Pyromancer or tokens, and then you don't have anything left to stop, the burn spells to your face. I don't know. Like I said, red's just this very efficient color.
Yeah. It's somewhat linear, but it does what it does. It does what it needs to do very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. And thinking about that, you know, I guess, well, spells matter more often than not is always going to be paired with blue. And, of course, we could talk about all the red multicolor cards as well. I didn't even think about this, but cards like Electrolyze and Fire and Ice just are absurd in those decks. Quick question about red blue. I feel like now we've got this, you know, red blue is, if like within the past 2 years, has gotten absurdly strong from DAC, Karanos. We just got the Storm Chaser Mage. DAC Duplicant is a notable. How do you fit? Like, what? I don't know what the optimal build is, because you can, I guess, fire and ice and electrolyze kind of fit the same slot. You can even run the new Merfolk Joran Rune Diver. I don't know exactly what it's called. There's just so much there. Like, I don't personally play Rowl, just because I don't have one, and there's not enough room in the color. But the Rowl is still like an A grade card.
Oh yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Storm Chaser Mage, because it's got this little thing called Prowess, which yeah. is also a spells matter ability. And then, like, you know, not just pairing it with blue, but you can also pair it with white with a card like Monastery Mentor, which, you know, is kind of almost like a red card, because yep. it just makes these dudes and kills you very fast. So, you know, I've built many a red white deck that has both really efficient spells and just like army in a can type creatures, like Pyromancer and Monster Mentor, stuff like that. So, but yeah, as far as like the multicolor section of Izzet, it was probably the, would you say it's probably the weakest like two and a half years ago?
Yeah, it was really bad.
It's probably like my next to like, I don't know, Azorius and Dimir, probably one of the stronger ones. I mean, you could.
It's my personal favorite, only because I actually love Dak Faden as a card and Karanos. Yeah. They're like my two favorite cards in the queue. But yeah, it's very, very strong. But I do agree with you. Somewhere, Azorius is all, you can't really go wrong with any of the Azorius cards, especially with Reflector Mage. That card's absurd.
Yes, that, you know, we had Samon a couple episodes back. He's talking about his Brago deck, and I've been trying to build one, and like Reflector Mage, blinking it, just seems so dirty.
Yep.
It is, it really is, but you know, but like it is, it's just really strong now. I think that comes from like, you know, pairing any color with blue, you're going to have certain amount of card selection, on top of like, you know, your red filtering effects, like your Faithless Looting, you know, cards like that. But it's real easy to splash a Lightning Bolt and Electrolyze, even a Dak Faden, because, like, usually, you know, it's something in one red. I don't know. It just seems So,
quickly touching back on land destruction, red is the deck. You know, red decks are the ones that are most commonly going to be playing Wasteland and Strip Mine effects.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, maybe Port. I guess Port's played in Legacy Goblins, so I mean, imagine, I think it's more of a, I think of white when I think of Port, but I don't know why.
Yeah, white or red, probably. Red's probably number two after white.
So, I mean, those cards are also very, very strong. Yes.
Also, red gives you the most, not the most fun, but close to the most fun to have a Ice Crown Scepter in play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because you're just like, okay, I've got infinite burn spells, so you either kill me fast or have artifact removal, which usually red has most of, and I cut all that because I'm red. So,
yep.
But yeah, the land destruction part of it though, and I don't take great joy from it, but I've been known to Crucible Strip Mine somebody. You know,
that card's also $1 million right now.
It is. It is. Actually, you can just about get a Judge Full for close to the price of a regular 10th edition one, just because they're hard to find. So, but, yeah, just, and, you know, while white has the straight up Armageddon effects, red has this way of destroying your lands, slowly with more value, like with a 2/2 haste creature, or, oh, by the way, take a couple damage to the face if it was non-basic, like with Molten Ring. It's funny, like I could, like the more we talk about red, the more like I realize, like I play these decks all the time. But like it's real easy to, like you can build a straight red deck, or you can splash it really easily, in, you know, the decks like, I don't really have, I don't think I have a red-black deck in my queue very much. Like, sometimes there's a Grixis deck, I guess.
Yeah, I think that is something to point out. Red-black, I think, is really bad in cube, to be honest. It's, I mean, in comparison to the other colors, Grenzo is a house. It's a card that's very, very strong, but it requires, like, mana to put into it. You have to untap to get real value out of it, I would imagine, because you're going to be playing it for X, you know, put on maybe three counters or something. Kolaghan's Command is a very strong card, as well as Dreadbore, but no, Olivia is a card that takes time to develop. Grenzo is a card that takes time to develop, and there isn't, to my knowledge, a red-black Planeswalker that's very good. Sarkhan the Mad is kind of eh.
Yeah, unless you splash blue for Grixis, like, it's really, or really tough to play straight red black, because like just about any red black deck I could build would be stronger as mono red.
Yeah,
I mean, just that I can think of. And I've got some pretty, like you named off some really good cards, like Olivia and Dreadbore and stuff like that. But like those usually go in decks that are more than two colors. Mm-hmm. Like I'll play Olivia in a Jund deck all day long, or like I said, a Grixis deck.
And you can play, you can play, like even, I've always wanted to play, I mean, I've done this before, but every time I think of aggressive decks, I think of mono red, think of white weenie, and for the longest time, people have been pushing Suicide Black. I think this is a more, it's not a more recent thing, but within the past 2 years, this has kind of been revitalized. In terms of efficiency, Gnarled Scarhide, Bloodsoaked Champion, they're just not as good as Goblin Guide. Bloodsoaked Champion has recurring value, but you can only really use this in black. It's not an effect that red really wants. So pairing those two colors is fine, but it just seems less efficient than just playing red. Like if you play a Draenor or something, yeah, that's excellent. If you play, you know, any of the overall like just super slam dunk bombs, then it doesn't matter. But that doesn't really say much for the color, rather than just the power of the card you're playing. You'll occasionally see red-black, you know, splash for like an Inquisition or a Duress or like a Hymn in the aggressive style decks, but if you're playing an aggro deck, you can only have so many high drops. At the same time, most of the 4-drops and 5-drops in black are creature removal as opposed to the drops in red, which you're going to be playing. What is the Hellrider, the Dark Ascension guy?
Yeah, Hellrider.
While FTK and Skinrender almost serve the same purpose, there's a reason FTK has 4 toughness or 4 power. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting to look at. I think the point you made a couple episodes about Tybalt coming back in a red black form is real possibility. 2-mana red black guy.
Yeah, I think that will, I mean, not even 2, maybe even just it's like 3, like a Ashiok, you know, style card, like 3-mana with a, where you can't really minus it right away, but you have to plus it. But it really do anything that's get to untap again. You know, if they went kind of like that style Planeswalker, I think there's a lot of good space there. And also they need to make up Tybalt being so damn bad last time. So, so yeah, anybody that listens, of course, they're like 3 years down the road. But yeah, I will totally take credit for that. If they want to, you know, slide that in late last minute, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And red black doesn't have a land. Like, what is their man land?
Lava Claw Reaches.
Yeah.
Which I've died to exactly 0 times.
Ever. Yeah, I've never ever played that card, I think. It's not in my cube. It's fine, but it's not, I don't know.
I'm a stickler for cycles. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm gonna have to break that soon by adding talismans and swapping them out for signet. I mean, taking signets out for talismans, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got it in the cube. I got a foil like a long time ago when red black vampires was the thing last time we were in Zendikar. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think it is way down the list on lands that do things. If you remember the, Innistrad cycle of two color do something lands. They had, was it Stencia Bloodhall, which was like the most horrible,
yeah,
horrible value perfect. Card ever.
What is the cradle cycle, black card?
Gosh, what is it?
It's terrible. I don't know what it is. This is like Gorge something. I don't know.
The red one was Shivan Gorge, wasn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Yeah. What is the black
one? That wasn't even cradle, was it?
Anyway, it doesn't matter, but this
yeah,
is a
really
red
doesn't.
Episode. I don't play Raging Ravine. I'm sorry, I play Raging Ravine. I don't play Lava Claw Reaches, and I don't play the green-white mana line. It's fine, but I like the Horizon Canopy effect more.
Yeah, that's very well.
Yeah, sorry. So, I don't know. Red-black, just it needs some help. Like, we've got a bunch of nice stuff. Just give us a couple red-black cards. I'm assuming now that we're going back to Innistrad, we're probably going to get some. I'm like almost guaranteeing this. I'm hoping that it's not Liliana, and I'm hoping we get Liliana of the Veil, but that's for a different purpose. but yeah, I mean, red-black is fine, but it just still seems so lackluster. Like, the quality of spells just doesn't compare to Shardless, doesn't compare to Dak, it doesn't compare to Johnny Vengeant. Olivia is very strong, but it, you know, it's one. It's one
okay.
card.
talking about Olivia, like, you know, the same thing they did with Drana, and went back to Zendikar. You know, she used to be, what, 5 mana, I believe, and a little bit bigger. They dropped her down to 3, made her more aggressive, with some cool abilities. Would you rather see Olivia come down in mana and just maybe a little bit faster type stuff? Or would you rather make her a bigger one from, like, 4 to maybe a 6 mana Olivia that was more game ending?
Probably 3.
Because actually, I can think that she kind of is a 6 mana Olivia, because you want to play her with 6 so you can activate her right away.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, that'd be really sweet. I try and keep up with the storyline a fair amount, but I don't remember it in Innistrad. I don't think, like, she died or anything. So there's a good chance we get a good Olivia this block coming up.
What if they reprinted the same exact one?
That'd be fine. It's a very good card.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be good for us cube people because not everybody wants it has it. So, yeah. But I mean, more of that card out in the universe is not a bad thing. And I wouldn't mind playing it in standard, even though I don't really play standard. But It was really fun in draft. Like, if you ever got to untap of that in draft and you lost, oh, I feel bad for you because that card just dominated so much in draft.
Yep. That card is a machine.
Yeah, we could see a different version of her. Like we talked, I wouldn't mind a red-black Tybalt. So they have options. They could do things for red-black if they want to. Probably won't happen, but yeah. It'd be nice to see for sure.
But with that said, I am being absurdly greedy. We did get Kolaghan's Command, which is an excellent card, but we can do better. So I'm not settling. but anyway, let's talk Let's talk about some of the artifacts that play into red, because Shrine of Burning Rage is a very linear effect. You know, I include it as an actual red card because that's what it is. But like Black Vice, Ankh of Mishra, those kind of artifacts also play into that deck a lot. Do you play any of these cards?
I do play Shrine. You were talking about, you know, toning down red a little bit. I did pull out Ankh of Mishra a while back because I was both trying to tone back my red decks and cut some of the artifacts because my artifact section got huge. But yeah, Ankh is really strong because, like I said, it's in the deck that it goes in. It's exactly what it wants to do. Like, you get your couple lands out and beat him in the face, you put this thing down, and the control deck just cries because it can't, you know, it can't, if it, every time it plays the land, it's a shock land, whether it's a shock land or not. So, it, you know, it really stops them from playing their game. It attacks them on an axis that you normally don't have to worry about. Like, normally you should just get to play lands. That's kind of one of the things about Magic that most people take for granted, but definitely takes that up a notch. We had also talked about, Crucible is kind of a red card. And I guess
since
they're more likely to play your Strip Mine and Wasteland, of course, I'll first pick a Strip Mine too, I guess. But have you ever played a Shrine with no red spells in the deck at all?
I never have. No, have you?
I'd say not any. I played it in a deck that only had Electrolyze and a Johnny Vengeant.
You played early enough; it's probably still good. But...
yeah, I mean, it's just like a Doomsday Clock just sitting there. It's like, yep, gonna kill you, and like I did trigger, I think, once with a Johnny. But yeah, like it just, I think I wound up blowing it for like 8 and then it hit him with a creature. But that card is just in a red deck. It is such a fast clock. It's probably, if I had in my mind, before the draft that I wanted to go mono red, it's probably one of the top 4 cards I want to see when I open the pack. So as far as like going to try and burn people out.
Quick side note, what do you think about Aether Vial in cube?
I like the thought of it. It never works out for me.
Yeah, I have it in my cube. Now that I think about it, that card is just not good.
Maybe I don't know. Because I don't build those decks like that much, but I don't know.
Because I'm also trying to trim down my artifact section. I'm thinking about Vial, and on MTG Salvation, they raised a good point that, I mean, a lot of the cards, there's a lot of effects that don't translate from Constructed very well. So Aether Vial is one, City of Traitors is one. And a lot of these cards want to be backed by consistency. You want to be able to play it either on turn one, turn two, in terms of Vile and City of Traders, actually, and immediately get value out of it. When you top deck Vile, it's terrible. Same thing, City of Traders just doesn't really do much for you. When the decks are backed by consistency with in Vile, you can, you know, have something, leave it on two and play something every turn, kind of in like a Merfolk or Goblin deck traditionally, or go turn one, turn two, show and tell with the City of Traders. Cubes doesn't really have that. So, I mean, there are, like, there was that, what was that guy at Worlds? He played Vile with, like, Huntmaster and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't Shuhei, but it was somebody, like, they went, like, they'd play Vile, they'd play Huntmaster, pass, and it would immediately flip because no spells were cast. But, I mean, like, that effect just doesn't seem like it translates. Like, I've had decks in which I've played Vile before, and I get it on turn one, and it's good. But also, do you, like, when do you tick it up? Do you just leave it at two? Do you think of your best creature and then go to that CMC?
Yeah, that's why I always try and play it, if I do get to play it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll think of, like, the ones in my deck that I really want to be able to play at instant speed. Let's say it's just, you know, three, for example. But then I also have a good four drop. Well, then I know if I ever do draw that four drop, I just got to tick it up that one more time. But, you know, usually I played it something I get the most value out of, but I want to leave it like real close to the top end, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now that, you know, you bring it up, red probably is the best color for Aether Vial just because it does have like the looting effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you do draw it late game, you know, you've got that Faithless looting in the yard, just, you know, cashed in, pitch it. Get some more cards, or, you know, Duretti, something like that. So, and especially with Duretti, that really doesn't translate, like bringing it back out of the graveyard because you won't get much value. But anyway, but yeah, you know, it has ways of getting rid of it if it draws it late game. But yeah, like you said, it just doesn't, it's not as good as it is in constructed because one, you don't always have it in your opener. So if you don't get it on the first two turns, it value drops just like off a cliff. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I guess the next deck we would talk about that red is often in is the big red deck. When I think of this, I think of green red, and we got, you know, a couple good cards in the last year, such as Atarka, which is stupid good. And then, of course, just you play the higher end spells. So, like, we just got that, the six mana Chandra, which I think would be, you know, excellent in that deck, or even that card could go in, like, a nice control style deck. It's more often where I see the dragons in some kind of green-red deck, maybe big red. But yeah, the dragons, the siege gang, the perforos, those kind of spells I think are often paired with green sometimes.
Well, and you also got your Bloodbraid elf. Really good four drops. You got Koth and Bloodbraid are the two that come to mind in your, you know, your medium to big green-red decks. You know, where you just, once they get to that point, they're just going to kill you pretty fast, because, like, well, just those three cards that you mentioned too, Perforos.
Yeah.
That guy makes your, you know, turn seven one drop look really good. It's like, shock you. And then, like, he's got the pump on a stick. It's just, I don't play that deck at much because it is something you kind of have to plan around. It's not as easy to audible into.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely is strong when it comes together.
The thing is that a lot of the cards that are good in that deck are also good in a lot of other decks. Like, if you see an early prime time, you have to pick it. And if you don't, you're not getting it back. It's often the same thing with the Tarka. If you pass the Tarka, someone may pick it up just because it's actually a decent show and tell target.
Mm-hmm. Or any green deck can play it because they have naturally all the ways for green cards come into play, like natural order and green things.
Or just ramp. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just this big thing.
Do you play Domri?
I do, actually.
Yeah, I do too. Sweet.
Okay, and I've got Xenagos in there. I've got two red greens planeswalkers. But, I mean, I like Domri a lot. I've died to its ultimate before, which is really, really bad. It feels really bad. It was the deal, like, he had a mana elf, played it on turn two, you know, revealed a goblin guide and got to draw it.
Yeah.
But, and gosh, how else did that go? Yeah, then he untapped and cast, Avalanche Riders, who we talked about earlier, blew up my land, and so thus prevented me from killing him any kind of pressure on Domri. And then once they get that ultimate off, when they get close to the ultimate, it's like Jace almost. It's like, it's that bad. Like, there's not much coming back from that.
Yeah, I know. It's double strike, trample, hexproof, which is the biggest thing, and haste.
Haste, yes.
Yeah. If you had to play one, would you pick Xenagos or Domri?
Xenagos, just because it tends more to my style, I guess, because it's ramp and dudes. It can be both things. Now, don't get me wrong. I have, the dirtiest thing ever was I was playing a deck. It was a Jund deck and had Urborg, and it was mostly black, but I was splashing I had a bunch of creatures, and for some reason, I was like, oh, hey, this is a cute interaction. Let me see if I can pull it off.
Oh, Fight Club?
I landed Domri and then played Urborg and cast Obliterator. Yeah.
Fight Club, yeah.
That was tasty. So that, like, really should never happen because of the quad black, and Obliterator's not even my cube anymore. But when it happened, it was really fun. But, yeah, I generally like Xenagos a little bit more. I can't tell you what this ultimate does, come to think of it. I've never done it before.
Don't you reveal the top X, or top something, and then put all lands and creatures into play?
Yeah, that never happens because you, like, either kill them with satyrs or you ramp and kill them with whatever you cast off the ramp. So
yeah. I would play Domri, but that's only because I love 3-mana planeswalkers. I think being able to play something on turn two is huge, but that's not taking anything away from Xenagos at all, for all the reasons that you named. 3-mana planeswalkers, I think, are just really good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a bad one. Even a Johnny Call of the Pride is good in the white weenie deck.
In that deck, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, they're all pretty good. That's not even counting the flip ones, you know, they're humans creatures and flip, but yeah, there's not. Not that many of them, and they've all been pretty good.
Okay, so next topic here, unusual archetypes. Now, there are a couple archetypes that people may be aware of but have not tried or haven't had too much success in trying. The first one that comes to mind is definitely Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Red has a huge part in the Storm deck, of course, the Wheel of Fortune effects. Gamble is a possible card you can play in the deck. And then, in addition to that, you have sneak attack variants and sacrifice effects with bombardment, those kind of decks. What would you recommend? I know as our resident Storm expert here, what would you recommend for people trying to get Storm going in their cube? Of course, you probably have to have a cube that's a bit smaller just so you get, your variance is not as high. But what would you recommend in terms of red for people who are looking to possibly go into that, that archetype?
If you want to give it a good chance, the key is to have spells that are good in any deck. Like, Empty the Warrens for two is just miserable. But, even Empty the Warrens for like six goblins is, like I said before, is pretty good. But like Grape Shot is pretty reaching in cube, because it's just, you're not able to grape shot somebody for 20 or an 18 or whatever. It's just really, really hard. It can be done, but it's just super hard. You want more, like, as far as you can have your other Storm finishers. They don't even have to be red. They can be, Brain Freeze or Tendrils or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as far as like your red Storm cards, Metamorphose is a Storm staple, in the Constructed and Cube, because it's just a good card. You get to fix your mana and you draw a card. So it's essentially a free spell, which is what Storm wants. You want to be able to have good, cheap, artifacts. zero drop artifacts are the best, of course. I've played, which one is it?
Oh, thinking about that, Chromox is a staple mm-hmm. red card. But go ahead, sorry.
Oh yeah, I was actually about to say, I've played Chromox before and just to play it, like not even use it for mana, just to count as Storm. Of course, LED is really good, but as far as like strictly red cards, Past in Flames, you know, we talked about before the show about how that's went crazy in modern. But it's not Yawgmoth's Will, but it's almost as good. It really is, like in the Storm deck. And it can be just a value card in other decks. But, as far as red cards, Metamorphose and Past in Flames are probably the two best red Storm enablers.
Mm-hmm.
Faithless Looting also in there. But like I said, that's just a good card. Like, I'll play Faithless Looting in any red deck just to get rid of my extra lands if I'm an aggro deck, you know? So, but I've had more luck with Storm than I think most people have, but I've got a couple of drafters that really like it besides myself. The key is to have cards that go, that could work in multiple decks, but put together in a Storm deck are really strong.
Mm-hmm. So the second unusual archetype, I think, is probably the Show and Tell decks, sneak attack decks, reminiscent of the Legacy deck more often than not. A lot of times, I guess not reminiscent of the Legacy decks. You're going to be show and telling in a big dumb idiot, some like giant Eldrazi, as opposed to show and telling the actual sneak attack or like an omniscience effect. Sneak attack is a card that I think I've still lost to in mono red decks that just play it and put out a bunch of creatures that you really can't deal with and flood the board. Especially when you pair it with green and you can put out like a Woodfall Primus or something with immediate enter the battlefield effects, God forbid a Titan or something like that. I think most commonly sneak attack is always paired with blue. And then you just play some off color cards sometimes and you play like a bunch of artifact creatures, you know, colorless creatures, and then occasionally you'll put in like a Woodfall Primus. But sneak attack makes me mad because at the GP, GP Seattle, I lost to the stupid Stompy deck that plays four main deck Blood Moon, four Magus of the Moon, four Chalice in the main board.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right. And I mulled to six, kept a hand that had a Sphere of Resistance, and like an exploration, I was playing lands and he was playing the Stompy deck. And he mulled to four. I was like, all right, I got this. And I play my turn one Sphere because I was like, you're not, you know, no funny business here. And I play my exploration the next turn. Then I draw. Draw exploration off the top. I'm like, all right, go. Draw exploration off the top. Okay, go. Draw my third copy of exploration, or fourth copy of exploration off the top. I'm like, this is so unreal. This is a joke. Play three. I have three explorations in play, just sitting there. And he goes, all right. Simeon Spirit Guide, Simeon Spirit Guide, Simeon Spirit Guide, Mountain, Seething Song, Sneak Attack. I was like, what? Okay. Next turn he goes, Mountain, Mountain, Inferno Titan, Inferno Titan. I was like, this is just unreal.
I was about to say, usually when I lose to Sneak Attack and Cube, it involves an Inferno Titan.
Mm-hmm.
But another card that is kind of a red card, because it does things red does, is a Sundering Titan.
Yeah.
And it goes really well in that Sneak Attack deck, because, you know, if you get it out, you usually blow up two to three of their lands, and then you sack him, and you blow up two to three of their lands, and then you keep one mountain, and then the next turn, it doesn't really matter what you put into play, they're not doing anything. Yeah. They're just done. So, and he's also an 11, or not 11, a 7, 7-11? 7-9?
7.
He's big.
11, I thought. Anyway, 11, yeah, 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 something big.
He's really big. So, so he's another kind of a pseudo red card at times.
It's funny because my friends hate that card because they're like, I would never play this. Why would I want to blow up my own lands? I was like, you don't understand.
You blow up like three of theirs and maybe one of yours, and that's okay. And then you still got a 7-11 at the end of the day.
Or, yeah, 7-10. 7-10.
7-10. Okay, 7-11 is the blue artifact.
The Shroud guy.
Yeah, Inkwell of Oth.
There you go. Yeah.
Got there. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, then if they remove it, then they probably have no lands in play. So, once again, the red archetypes kind of mesh together, which it's, you know, kind of hard to see the differences, but they're just very, very subtle sometimes, which is not something you think of when you think of red, but, you know, the artifact deck goes well with the sneak attack deck.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, definitely sneak attack is, doesn't really matter what you sneak attack in. It's usually really good.
Yep.
Okay, so like, you know, red does, the things it does really well. There are some things that, you know, I would like to see it get a little bit better at. Maybe whether it be through, you know, supplemental sets or actual, you know, print the card in standard. It doesn't really matter as long as I get access to it in my cube. Is there anything particular like you're really wanting to see right now?
I want to see that design space the same. I don't know, the design space they've been exploring with the supplemental cards, the Felden dual caster mage kind of tempo-y artifact. So artifact on one side and then tempo on the other. Same thing with Magus of the Wheel, just stuff like that. And then I think at some point we're gonna get a deal. 5 damage burn spell for 4 mana.
I think that'd be pretty good. Of course, we actually have a deal 6 for 5. Wait, how much is Fiery Confluence?
4.
It's 4, so he gets a deal 6 for 4.
That's okay, well, never mind. Yeah, that's better. Or well, deal 5 for 3? Is that, we think that'll ever happen?
I think Brimstone Volley is about as close as you can get to that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so many ways in red to trigger Morbid. It's kind of there. But, like, something that's not as conditional, I could see that. One thing that I was, like, I really want to see more of the Duretti stuff. Not necessarily another Duretti, although they could, can, you know, conceivably print a different.
I wouldn't complain at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about that. But yeah, like you said, like the deal with the Felden and Duretti and just the artifact, you know, sub theme, I like a lot. Maybe more sac outlets, because one thing that red does that we didn't really touch on, one of my favorite cards in red is Zealous Conscripts, which usually, you know, says ultimate target planeswalker. but having a, which the best thing about that is usually the planeswalker is gone when you're done with it, because it kills it. But having some, you know, fairly cheap or free sac outlets in red for like the many threatened effects that you can play, or, you know, that you get just from playing the red cards. So yeah, that's something, if they could find a cool way with artifacts or, you know, red spells that could deal damage or sac it or both. You know, let's be greedy. I'm asking for something. Staple like Goblin Bombardment on a dude that takes your guy. So that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know how they could do that. That was something that I really like. I'm like Sam Black in some ways. Like, if you give me a free sac outlet, I'm going to find something very broken to do with it. And, red has all the little value things that would benefit a lot from that.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a recent chain. Red is, we've got some really good stuff. Sorry, that was just a jumbled mess of nonsense. But recently, we're on a good string of stuff from WotC. I mean, even dating back to Eidolon, within the past, what, year and a half-ish? 1 year? Well, 2 years, actually.
It's been 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing well. Even at the beginning of Theros block, Purphoros, I think Purphoros is a cube mainstay. Pretty strong, so we're getting there. I think they've taken notice. I have a theory that many of the people at WotC own cubes, which is probably more likely than not, and they're noticing these. So, if you're listening out there, keep up the good work. Anyway, let's move into our top 5 red cards. We each have our own lists here. Is there any theme to yours? Just going for power level, or are you going for your favorite? Are you going, do you have any memories attached to them, or kind of all of the above?
Yeah, I'd kind of say it's more of a favorite. Cause I mean, best thing you just talk about, well, the best burn spells, but you know, there's some of these on here don't actually do damage themselves, but, you know, yeah, it's probably just my favorite ones. Either I've built around them or had good matches when I get them in play. So, mm-hmm. And you know, since this is, you know, the color shoes were just in red, I think we both could agree that if we included multicolor into this, that Karanos would be in our top five.
Oh yeah. Dak and Karanos would be number one and two, but.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, my number one would probably still be number one, but they'd be two and three anyway.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, they're very strong cards. And, but yeah, as far as like mono red type stuff, I've got Duretti at my number five.
Okay.
And it looks like, you know, it's a four mana planeswalker that doesn't protect itself. You're like, how's this a good thing? But then like just the card advantage that it generates is just incredible. And it's fairly high loyalty. So it's, pretty hard to deal with. They have to put a lot of resources in unless, you know, like they happen to have, I don't know, Hero's Downfall, like, and you get one activation, but yeah, I've been really happy with Dreddy in my artifact decks. And I even splash him sometimes in my, you know, blue-black artifact decks with Tezzeret. I'll splash him and,
oh, yeah.
Of course, Dak Payton all day long. Those may have been my only two red cards in the entire deck, and I'll play like six red sources for him.
But, I agree. My number five is actually just Lightning Bolt. And when I mean just Lightning Bolt, it is the Lightning Bolt. It's very efficient. Of course, everyone knows what this card does, but I mean, you play it in decks that aren't red, you play it in decks that are red, you play it in decks that are mono red, you play it in big red decks. There's never, I mean, is Bolt ever a bad card in any deck that has a Mountain in it?
No, like I have first pick Bolt. It's actually my number four, which is cool. Yeah, like you can first pick Bolt and feel fine because it can always make your deck. Like you may go completely away from red, but you might still play it in one other red card and flash it because it's just that good. It's removal, it's burn, it's, I don't know. So it's just efficient and we're never going to get anything that good again. So we might as well like it.
And you said it's your number four?
Yeah, it was number four.
My number four is Splinter Twin because I am degenerate. I like Twin. It's just, I mean, it makes games interesting. Like I'm not the biggest fan of the turn four kill every single game, but I think in Cube there just isn't enough consistency for that to happen. Usually if you have the card, you're going to be casting cards like Impulse, you know, Serum Visions, Ponder, not Serum Visions, I'm sorry, I did not play the card, but Ponder, Preordain, stuff like that to try to find it. And then usually you'll kind of set up and get it out on turn six or seven or something like that. But that's just the infinite combo. I've played Twin on an Inferno Titan before and dealt like 12 damage in one turn. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, I've played Twin on, Flame Tongue Kavus. I've, like, a bunch of nonsense. So, it's just a real, oh yeah. I mean, it's just a really fun card. It has a fairly unique effect. Like, of course, Kiki does the same thing, but it costs triple red. But yeah, it's just fun. So that is my number four.
Okay. My number three is Wheel of Fortune.
Ooh, I forgot about
that. Cause it just does what I like to do. Like if I'm playing mono red, I just empty my hand. Wheel of Fortune, I draw seven. You technically draw like three. I'm okay with that. And like it goes in my storm decks really well. It works really well with stuff like Yawgmoth's Will. Or LED, you know, things like this. So, it's just, you know, an effect that red has always had access to. Like we talked about earlier, they reprinted a version of it with Magus of the Wheel in the Commander series, which is really good, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like better than I thought it was. Just as a creature, like sometimes you just beat down with it, never even activate it. But, yeah, Wheel of Fortune as a card is really good, and there's a reason it's banned in a lot of formats.
Yep. So, I've made the decision that I want to get a beta wheel this year. That will hurt the wallet.
I'm going for the judge one. Like I've got a I've got an unlimited one, I think. Unlimited. It's revised. I take that back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like that art, but I think I'm gonna go with the Judge one.
I had a Judge one for a long time. I don't know where it is, but unfortunately, but that's besides the point. My number three is Goblin Ravelmaster. New card, but it's just a house. I've also played a Splinter Twin on a Goblin Ravelmaster, and it's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, if you don't answer, you're just dead. Like, you're literally just dead. You're getting hit by, like, six creatures for 12 damage or something.
Oh, yeah. Heaven forbid they played a turn one Goblin Guide or any other random goblins in your cube. If they have something like a Siege Gang Commander, it's just so gross. So.
Okay. Your next card?
My number two is Young Pyromancer.
Okay.
We talked about it earlier, and it's a really good red card because, like, you know, red's always throwing spells at people's faces. It makes more guys. It really causes, unless they have, like, a board wrath right when they untap after you play it, they're going to have to, you know, two for one themselves just to get rid of the guys. So, and it goes in one of the decks I really like to play, which is just blue-red tempo with burn spells.
Mm-hmm.
So, really wouldn't mind seeing like a Judge Foil or a FNM promo or
still not anything. Sure why we haven't got one, but yeah.
Something, some kind of promo with, it can be the same art. I mean, it doesn't have
Future
to be
Sight art, Frame Judge Foil Pyro.
That sounds good.
He is going to appear later on my list, but yeah, he's like you were saying, he is, just a card that, I mean, he's an engine in every single format, right? He's played in Legacy, and you play four Probe just to get 1/1s, and, I mean, it's just good. Cards, I mean, there's not much needs to be said for it. It's really efficient. My number two card is your number five, only because this is currently the commander that I'm using, and I'm very infatuated with him because he's very, very strong, and that is Duretti Scrap Savant. Like I said, that workshop I picked up was specifically for this deck, and of course the cube, but he's really good. This card is sweet, especially in EDH where I get to play, turn one, Spine turn of Spears and Spine of Ishaw and Thorn of Amethyst and Smokestacks, and I have a Tabernacle, so all that, you know, people get to have a lot of fun at the table, so he's just really cool. And he's exploring a design space that, you know, we're starting to something new. So I'm pretty excited for that. But go ahead, pardon me.
And just the thought of this goblin, like, you know, kind of like sifting through trash and coming out with all these little trinkets. And he's, oh, by the way, he's a planeswalker. But yeah, he's, I really like that card a lot. And so you're the guy in your play group that Spine of Ishaw's people away and then bring back Mind Slaver, huh? Okay. Fun times.
Yep. So, drum roll. What is your number one card?
As no surprise to anybody that's ever heard me talk about Cube, my favorite red card is Ophiric Vortex. Because it pretty much says, 3 mana, you win the game. Like, I have died under my own vortex like a handful of times, but I've crushed my opponents like in the dozens of times on Live and Magic Online. It's just like, you know, it goes in the Fun Police mono red deck where you play a bunch of one drops and burn spells and you cast Vortex on turn 3 and then they scoop because they can't come back from that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an absurdly strong card.
Yeah, that's why Randy cut it from the Legacy Cube at one point, but we're not going to talk about that. First I go after my card, then I go after Charlotte's Agent. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah, they just knew. It was a mistake.
Of course, Charlotte's was back in the last cube that they played, by the way.
Yeah, but it's not as good in that cube. Anyway.
Yeah, you don't get to... you have to get Ancestral Visions instead of Ancestral Recall.
Yeah, because that's fun. But it's great. But, like, come on, guys. What's happened? What was the deck? There was a deck that would have loved that card. And I can't remember. I saw it on Twitch so many times. Now it's I cannot remember what it was, but I don't know. Like, just please, please, like, please, guys, come on.
They're saving to bring it back for when they get a Judge promo.
Please. That too. When is that going to happen?
Okay, I'll let you get to your number one. I'll quit torturing you about Charlotte's Agent.
My number one is a card that we just talked about a second ago, but you're number three. Two, pardon me. Okay. Young Pirate Master. He's just cool. This guy's a monster.
It's just a 2-1 for two.
Only a
two. It has to removal.
I have a big, I'm a big fan of cards that are 2-1s for two. Or even just two power in general. I think they're pretty good. It's a long list of them. But 2-1s for two, it completes the, is there really an argument that it completed that, like, broken two drop cycle in Magic?
To me, that's the red one. I mean, some people have argued that it's one of the other two red cards that's been printed recently, but I like it better than any of those two, obviously. I think it's...
Which cards?
Eidolon and Abbott. Sorry.
Yeah, they're not better than Young Pyromancer, no way. You think?
Eidolon is probably close in a...
In a mono-red deck, yeah.
In a mono-red deck, Eidolon is probably better. But in, like, the decks that I and probably you like to draft, Young Pyromancer is just way better. Because the reason I know this is there's many vintage decks with Young Pyromancer. There are no vintage decks with Eidolon that I know of.
Nope.
So, yep. Good card is good, and
I mean, he
needs to be reprinted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's... The cool thing about him, too, is that he's uncommon, and he's not broken. He's not like Stoneforge and borderline Snapcaster Mage, where you're just immediately getting some absurd amount of value. You can play him in a cube, or even like in a lower power level deck. Like, one of my friend's first casual decks was just a blue-red. He started playing during M14, you know, when of the entail of Ravnica block. And, you know, you pretty efficient to just learn, you know. A couple blue spells, Gutter Snipes, Young Pyros, that's a deck. There you go.
Yeah.
And he learned to play off of that, and... I mean, he scales absurdly well, like you were saying, in Vintage, and in decks that, you know, you're playing, you know, less than ideal spells, you still get 1-1s, you still get to attack and block, and he still stays alive, because you have a million counters in your hand. So.
Yeah, there's nothing like having a Pyromancer in hand, and them going to kill it, and you have a free counter spell in your hand, you're just like, force that. Oh, it feels so good. 1-1. Waste your spell. Yeah, I pitched this other card that doesn't matter because I've got it going to kill you on the next turn.
Sure. Or Daze. Or I've been playing a little bit of Legacy recently, and you can go like Bolt and then Daze your own Bolt, pay for Daze, and then do it again so you could get like in towards the mid game when you have a bunch of lands out and Daze is completely irrelevant. It's like, I just made three guys and paid for my own Daze and still bolted you. All right.
I've seen similar things with, like, Remand. Like, yeah. Bolt, wait, no, Remand that. Draw a card, play Bolt again, play the card I just drew.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's awesome.
Yep.
But anyway, that is the conclusion of our Red episode. If you guys enjoyed that, definitely let us know on Twitter. But before we get to that, before we close up, what is going to be our next episode? We're going to probably continue up the color wheel here. What I think we should probably save blue for last, at least before multicolor and lands. What we're going to do is we're going to do one of each color. Multicolor will have its own episodes. Artifact will have its own episode, and lands will have its own episode. So, what color should we hit on next?
Maybe we should have people, you know, tweet at us or vote on MTG Salvation, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice. Yeah, maybe, yeah, we'll do that. Leave a comment down. I'll post it either on MTG Salvation or on Reddit, or you can just message us on Twitter about what color you'd like to hear from next. So, anyway, where can they find you if they're interested in telling you where, you know, what they want us to do next?
Well, I've got a YouTube channel, Quad Nines. Post pack openings, talk about Cube, talk about ADH, stuff like that. But I'm also on Twitter, like, always have my phone with me, so, it's Quad Nines, all spelled out. Yes, yeah, so just hit me up on there and we can talk about Cube or just general magic.
My name is Zakeel. You can find me on Twitter at Zakeel Gordon. You can find me on YouTube at Merfolk Magic. I think that's my YouTube channel. Yeah, Merfolk Magic. And then, of course, the Reddit threads. This podcast will be posted on r/MTGCube, as well as MTG Salvation in the Cube forum and on MTG Cast. And if you haven't, you can actually subscribe to this cast through iTunes. There's an RSS feed on MTG Cast, so you just plug in. It'll take you right down through there, and you can just get the phone and the podcast updates straight downloaded every time we post a new episode. So cheers to everyone listening, and we will see you next time.